Ahoy there, and welcome aboard for another deep dive.
All right.
This time, we're charting a course through naval history,
Okay.
thousands of years of maritime warfare,
Sounds good.
culminating in the rise of the formidable British Navy.
Right.
We're going to be exploring excerpts from Flag and Fleet, How the British Navy Won the Freedom of the Seas,
Okay.
a 1919 book by William Wood, complete with a preface by Admiral of the Fleet, Sir David Beatty himself.
Wow.
So our mission for this deep dive is to uncover
Okay.
how sea power has shaped the world, influencing everything from trade and exploration to the rise and fall of empires.
You know what's really intriguing about all this?
Yeah.
It's not just about ships and battles.
Right.
It's about understanding
Yeah.
how mastery of the seas translates to power on land,
Right.
shaping the destinies of nations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's set sail.
Right.
Our journey begins way back in the rowing age,
Okay.
long before the roar of cannons or the billowing sails of mighty warships. It's remarkable to think
Yeah.
that even ancient Egyptians had a designated steerboard side for their boats,
Interesting.
a concept that evolved into the starboard we know today.
Huh. I didn't realize that. That's where that came from.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
That seemingly simple detail
Yeah.
highlights the importance of efficient navigation.
Right.
Even in those early days,
Yeah.
the Egyptians, like many civilizations that followed,
Yep.
understood that control of the waters,
Right.
whether rivers or seas,
Yeah.
was crucial for trade, exploration,
Yep.
and even defense. From
Absolutely.
those early rafts and canoes,
Okay.
we encounter a pivotal innovation,
Right.
the Roman trireme,
Okay.
these purpose-built warships
Right.
with their rows of oarsmen and powerful rams,
Yeah.
dominated the Mediterranean for centuries.
Wow.
What strikes me is how this shift towards specialized warships reflects a growing understanding of naval strategy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Romans recognized
Yeah.
that control of the Mediterranean,
Right.
a vital artery for trade and communication, was essential for their expanding empire.
Right.
Their triremes provided them with the speed, the maneuverability, and the
Yeah.
firepower to project their power across the region,
Right.
effectively shaping the geopolitical landscape of their time.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
The book also mentions the Phoenicians,
Okay.
a civilization known for their incredible seafaring and trading prowess,
Right.
perhaps even reaching the British Isles
Wow.
and potentially circumnavigating Africa
Really?
long before the Europeans.
That's incredible.
Imagine the skill and courage it took to navigate those vast distances
Yeah.
without modern instruments.
I mean, the Phoenicians were masters of the sea.
Yeah.
Their knowledge of shipbuilding and navigation allowed them to establish extensive trade networks across the Mediterranean and beyond. And they weren't necessarily known for their military might,
Right.
but their seafaring expertise laid the foundation for the development of naval power in other regions,
Right.
highlighting how maritime skills could be adapted for both commerce and conflict.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So from the oars of the ancient world,
Right.
we now enter the age of wind and sail.
Okay.
This era brings to mind those legendary Vikings and their iconic longships.
Oh, yeah.
What makes these ships so fascinating even today?
Well, the Viking longships were technological marvels,
Okay.
capable of navigating treacherous seas and launching lightning raids across vast distances.
Wow.
Yeah, and their shallow draft
Yeah.
allowed them to navigate rivers and coastlines,
Right.
while their sturdy construction and maneuverability made them formidable in battle.
Yeah.
Their design, a testament to the Vikings' seafaring ingenuity, is
Right.
still admired and studied by naval architects today.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
The book highlights the Norman conquest of England in 1066, reminding us that William the Conqueror wouldn't have stood a chance
Right.
without his fleet
Yeah,
to
yeah.
transport his army across the English Channel. This victory underscores the strategic importance of controlling the seas,
Yeah.
even in land-based conflicts.
William's success hinged on his ability to project his power across the water,
Right.
demonstrating how control of the seas could translate to dominance on land.
Right.
This principle would resonate throughout history,
Yeah.
influencing the course of empires and shaping the destinies of nations.
Absolutely. And speaking of dramatic seafaring exploits,
Okay.
the book recounts Richard the Lionheart's encounter with a massive Turkish dromon
Oh, wow.
during the Crusades,
Okay.
a ship so large it was described as being as big as Noah's Ark.
Oh my goodness.
While that account may be embellished,
Yo.
it speaks to the scale and ambition of naval warfare at the time.
Right.
These dromons, with their multiple decks and capacity for carrying large numbers of soldiers,
Yeah.
were formidable warships, reflecting the growing importance of naval power in the Mediterranean and beyond.
Okay, so beyond those epic battles,
Yeah.
this period witnessed a truly transformative innovation.
Yeah.
Tacking,
Yeah.
suddenly ships could sail against the wind,
Like,
opening up new possibilities for
yeah.
exploration, trade, and naval strategy.
Right.
So, what were the long-term implications of this groundbreaking development?
Well, tacking revolutionized sailing,
Yeah.
allowing ships to travel more efficiently and strategically.
Right.
This innovation wasn't just about speed. It fundamentally changed the way navies operated,
Yeah.
influencing trade routes, exploration,
Right.
and the ability to project power across vast oceans.
Yeah.
It's a perfect example of how a seemingly simple technological advancement can have ripple effects across the world.
I agree.
And of course, we can't forget the emergence of cannons,
Right.
marking a dramatic shift for close quarters boarding actions
Yeah.
to the era of ranged naval combat.
So the development of heavy cannons capable of delivering devastating broadsides
Right.
revolutionized naval warfare.
Yeah.
It led to a shift in warship design, favoring larger, more heavily armed vessels.
Right.
This emphasis on firepower fundamentally changed naval tactics,
Right.
heralding a new era of naval battles fought at a distance,
Yeah.
where accuracy and firepower became paramount.
It's amazing how these innovations set the stage for a pivotal moment in naval history,
Yeah.
the rise of British sea power.
Okay.
It all began with King Henry VIII,
Right.
who recognized the strategic importance of a dedicated navy,
Yeah.
investing heavily in shipbuilding and laying the foundation for what would become the world's dominant naval force.
Henry VIII's foresight was remarkable.
Yeah.
He understood that a strong navy was essential not only for defending England's shores,
Right.
but also for projecting its power abroad.
Right.
His investments in shipbuilding
Yeah.
and the establishment of a professional naval force paved the way for England's emergence as a global maritime power.
Yeah, and it's during this period that we encounter those legendary English sea dogs,
Oh, yeah.
figures like Hawkins and Drake,
Right.
who challenged Spanish dominance at sea. They weren't afraid to take risks,
No, they weren't.
raiding Spanish ships and settlements, accumulating wealth,
Yeah.
and asserting English naval power.
So these were bold, often ruthless mariners
Yeah.
who embodied the spirit of the age, their exploits, driven by a mix of patriotism, ambition,
Right.
and a thirst for adventure,
Right.
played a crucial role in shaping the course of British naval history.
Yeah.
They were instrumental in challenging Spanish dominance,
Yeah.
paving the way for England's ascent as a maritime power.
Okay, so one such daring exploit was Drake's 1572 raid on Nombre de Dios,
Okay.
a Spanish port in Panama. It was during this raid that Drake's maroon servant was tragically killed by the Spanish,
Oh, wow.
fueling his desire for revenge and setting the stage for even bolder actions against the Spanish Empire.
Drake's actions,
Yeah.
while undeniably brutal at times,
Right.
highlight the fierce rivalry that existed between England and Spain during this period.
Yeah.
The stakes were high,
Yeah.
with control of the seas and access to the riches of the New World hanging in the balance.
Right.
These weren't just skirmishes. They
Yeah.
were clashes that would shake the future of empires.
And then, of course, we have the epic showdown,
Yeah.
the Spanish Armada in 1588.
Right.
What factors contributed to the English victory in this pivotal clash of naval titans?
Well, the defeat of the Spanish Armada was a watershed moment,
Okay.
marking a shift in the balance of power at sea.
Right.
The English, with their faster, more maneuverable ships and superior gunnery,
Right, yeah.
proved that they were a force to be reckoned with. It
Yeah.
wasn't just about bravery.
No.
It was a testament to their evolving naval strategy and technological advancements.
It's incredible how this single event shattered the aura of Spanish invincibility and emboldened England's ambitions on the world stage.
Right.
But even in defeat, there were tales of incredible heroism,
Yeah.
like the last stand of the Revenge,
Okay.
outnumbered and outgunned,
Wow.
yet fighting to the very end.
What can we learn from such acts of defiance in the face of overwhelming odds?
Well, the story of the Revenge captures the spirit of the age,
Right.
a testament to the courage and tenacity of English seamen.
Yeah.
It became a symbol of resistance against a seemingly invincible foe. inspiring generations of sailors,
right,
and contributing to the growing legend of British naval power.
The struggle for naval supremacy was far from over.
Okay.
England next faced a new rival in the 17th century.
Okay.
The Dutch.
The Dutch, all right.
These Anglo-Dutch wars weren't just about military dominance.
Wretched.
They were fueled by intense economic competition.
Yeah.
For control of lucrative trade routes and access to valuable resources.
Right.
The Anglo-Dutch wars were a clash of titans, with both nations boasting skilled sailors
right.
and innovative shipbuilding techniques.
Yeah.
These conflicts pushed the boundaries of naval tactics and technology,
right.
with each side constantly seeking an edge over the other.
Right.
It was a period of intense innovation and fierce competition,
wow.
driving advancements in ship design, naval strategy,
yeah.
and the very organization of naval forces.
Adding fuel to the fire was the Navigation Act of 1651.
Okay.
Which aimed to cripple Dutch shipping and bolster English trade.
Right.
This act wasn't just a political maneuver.
Right.
It reflected a deeper economic philosophy
okay.
that shaped global trade for centuries.
The Navigation Act was a key element of mercantilism.
Okay.
An economic theory that emphasized national wealth and self-sufficiency
right.
through the control of trade.
Right.
This act aimed to restrict Dutch access to English colonies and markets.
Right.
dealing a significant blow to their shipping industry and solidifying England's position as a dominant trading power.
As if the rivalry with the Dutch wasn't enough.
Right.
Another major player entered the scene.
Okay, who's that?
France.
France, all right.
The wars with France in the late 17th and 18th centuries marked a new chapter in the struggle for naval dominance.
Right.
With battles fought across multiple continents and oceans.
These conflicts with France were often global in scope.
Yeah.
Reflecting the growing interconnectedness of the world through trade and colonization,
yeah.
control of the seas became increasingly crucial
right.
for maintaining communication,
right.
transporting troops and supplies, yeah. and projecting power across vast distances.
Yeah.
These weren't just isolated skirmishes.
Yeah.
They were clashes that would redraw the map of the world.
Okay, so one such pivotal clash
yeah.
was the Battle of La Hogue in 1692.
Right.
A decisive victory for England that thwarted a potential French invasion.
Wow.
And secured English control of the seas.
So what strategic lessons can we draw from this battle?
La Hogue demonstrated the importance of a fleet in being.
Okay.
A naval force that by its very existence
right.
deters enemy action
mm-hmm.
and controls strategic waterways.
Right.
The English fleet, even though not directly engaging in battle.
Right.
effectively prevented a French invasion by maintaining a strong presence in the English Channel.
Wow.
This concept of a fleet in being would become a cornerstone of naval strategy for centuries to come.
Interesting.
The 18th century saw global conflicts like the Seven Years' War and the American Revolution, highlighting the crucial role of sea power in shaping the course of empires.
These weren't just conflicts fought on land. They were wars for control of the seas, access to resources,
right.
and the very future of global trade.
These wars underscored how control of the seas could influence the outcome of land campaigns.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Allowing nations to project their power, transport troops and supplies,
yeah.
and disrupt enemy lines of communication and trade, sea power became an essential element of national strategy, crucial for securing victory on both land and sea.
And during this period, we encounter a leader who truly grasped the importance of naval power in building a global empire.
Okay.
William Pitt.
William Pitt.
He understood that a strong navy was essential for protecting British interests.
Right.
Securing trade routes and projecting British power on a global scale.
Pitt's strategic vision was instrumental in solidifying British naval dominance during this period. He recognized that a nation's prosperity and security were inextricably linked to its control of the seas.
Yeah.
His policies and investments laid the groundwork for Britain's rise as a global superpower.
Right.
An empire whose influence spanned the globe.
So we've navigated from the oars of antiquity
right.
to the age of sail.
Yep.
Witnessing the rise of empires, epic battles,
yeah.
and transformative innovations like tacking and the emergence
yeah.
of cannons.
Right.
But our journey through naval history isn't over yet.
Okay.
We're about to enter an era of unprecedented technological change, where the age of sail gives way to the age of steam and steel.
As we move into the 19th century,
yeah.
we witness a revolution in naval warfare.
Okay.
A shift from wind and sail to the power of steam
right.
and the strength of iron.
Yeah.
This transformation will redefine naval strategy, usher in a new era of shipbuilding, and reshape the global balance of power.
The book specifically mentions the Royal William, a Canadian-built steamship, as a pioneer in this new era.
Right.
What made this ship so groundbreaking?
Well, the Royal William holds a special place in naval history as the first steamship to fire a shot in action.
Really?
Back in 1836.
Wow.
This event signaled the dawn of a new era where steam power gradually replaced sail, leading to faster, more maneuverable warships that were less reliant on the whims of the wind.
Right.
It's a testament to how technological innovation can rapidly transform the face of warfare.
It makes you wonder if the invention of tacking revolutionized sailing centuries earlier. What were the broader implications of this shift from sail to steam?
Right.
How did this new technology reshape naval strategy and global power dynamics?
Well, the transition to steam power had a profound impact on naval warfare.
Okay.
It allowed ships to travel faster,
right,
maintain consistent speeds, and operate independently of wind conditions.
Right.
This increased mobility and flexibility revolutionized naval strategy,
okay,
allowing for more aggressive tactics,
right,
and the projection of power across greater distances.
Okay.
It also led to a surge in innovation, with nations vying to build larger, more powerful, and heavily armed steamships, ushering in a new era of naval competition.
And as steam power reshaped the seas, another innovation was about to change naval warfare forever.
Oh, really? What's that?
Ironclad warships.
Ironclad warships, okay.
These iron behemoths rendered traditional wooden ships obsolete.
Wow.
Marking a turning point in naval history.
So the advent of ironclad warships revolutionized naval combat.
Okay.
Their armored hulls could withstand the pounding of traditional cannon fire.
Wow.
Making them nearly impervious to the weapons of the time.
Right.
This shift toward armored warships sparked a new arms race, with nations scrambling to build big or heavily armored and more powerfully armed vessels.
Wow. So naval battles transformed into clashes of industrial might.
Absolutely.
Where the thickness of armor and the size of guns became decisive factors.
Exactly.
This era also witnessed the consolidation of British sea power.
Okay.
The Royal Navy, with its global reach, advanced technology and well-trained sailors played a pivotal role in maintaining a semblance of global order throughout the 19th century.
The Royal Navy's dominance wasn't simply about military might, it was underpinned by a robust shipbuilding industry, a network of global bases, and a deep understanding of naval strategy honed over centuries of experience.
Right.
They were the undisputed masters of the seas.
Yeah.
Their presence felt across the globe, ensuring the safety of trade routes, projecting British power, and influencing the course of international affairs.
But as we enter the 20th century, a new challenger emerges.
Right, who?
Germany.
Germany, okay.
Their rapid naval buildup and ambition to rival British dominance created a dangerous atmosphere of tension and mistrust.
Wow. So how did this rivalry contribute to the outbreak of World War I?
Well, Germany's determination to build a fleet capable of challenging the Royal Navy was a key factor in the events leading up to World War I.
Right.
This naval arms race.
Yeah.
Fueled tensions between the two nations, creating a climate of suspicion and fear.
Right.
It was a classic security dilemma.
Yeah.
Where one nation's efforts to bolster its security were perceived as a threat by another, ultimately contributing to the spiral of events that plunged Europe into war.
World War I was a turning point in naval history.
Right.
A conflict characterized by technological innovation, unprecedented scale, and a brutality that shocked the world.
The book highlights the contrasting naval strategies of Britain and Germany.
Right.
While Britain focused on maintaining its command of the seas, Germany adopted a more aggressive approach, utilizing submarines to disrupt enemy shipping and challenge British dominance.
The German submarine campaign, particularly their unrestricted submarine warfare, was a controversial and ultimately costly strategy.
Yeah.
While it initially succeeded in disrupting Allied shipping and inflicting heavy losses, it also drew the United States into the war, tipping the balance of power decisively against Germany.
One of the most dramatic events of the war
Yeah.
was the Battle of Jutland in 1916.
Okay.
A massive clash between the British and German fleets.
Right.
That demonstrated the changing nature of naval warfare.
Jutland was a brutal and tactically complex battle.
Yeah.
Fought with a ferocity and on a scale never seen before.
Right.
While the British fleet suffered heavier losses in terms of ships and men.
Right.
They strategically prevented the German fleet from achieving its objectives.
Right.
Effectively maintaining control of the North Sea.
Right.
It was a Pyrrhic victory for both sides.
Yeah.
Highlighting the devastating potential of modern naval warfare.
Yeah.
And the increasing importance of technology and strategy in determining the outcome of such clashes.
But even with the German surface fleet contained.
Right.
The threat of their U-boats remained.
Yeah.
The sinking of the Lusitania in 1915, with a loss of over 1,000 lives,
right,
including many Americans,
yeah,
sparked outrage,
right,
and highlighted the indiscriminate nature of submarine warfare.
The sinking of the Lusitania was a turning point in the war,
yeah,
galvanizing public opinion against Germany,
right,
pushing the United States closer to intervention.
Right.
It demonstrated the devastating potential of submarine warfare.
Yeah.
And the ethical dilemmas associated with targeting civilian vessels.
The war at sea also underscored the vital role played by the British Merchant Marine, who braved constant danger from U-boats to transport vital supplies and troops across the Atlantic.
The Merchant Marine's contribution to the Allied war effort was indispensable.
Yeah.
They faced perilous journeys, enduring the constant threat of attack,
yeah,
stormy seas, and the psychological strain of knowing they were targets.
Yeah.
Their courage and sacrifice were essential for sustaining the flow of men and materials that ultimately led to Allied victory.
The war finally ended in 1918.
Okay.
With the surrender of the German fleet.
Right.
A symbolic end to a conflict that had reshaped the global order.
Mm-hmm.
Our source, Flag and Fleet,
yeah,
concludes with a compelling argument,
okay,
about the enduring importance of sea power.
Right.
Even in a world grappling with the aftermath of such a devastating war,
yeah,
what are the key takeaways about the relevance of sea power in a rapidly changing world?
The book's concluding argument resonates even today.
Okay.
Sea power remains crucial.
Yeah.
Perhaps more than ever,
right,
in a world interconnected by global trade,
yeah,
and reliant on maritime routes for the flow of goods, resources, and information,
right,
for nations like Britain and Canada,
right,
with their extensive coastlines and dependence on seaborne trade,
yeah,
control of the seas remains vital for their economic prosperity and national security. It's really remarkable how, even though the world had just gone through this devastating war,
right,
those fundamental principles of sea power, the ones that we've traced back to ancient civilizations,
right,
still hold true.
Yeah, it's like technology might evolve, the types of ships might change,
right,
but the strategic importance of controlling the seas remains a constant factor in global affairs.
Absolutely.
So this deep dive into naval history has revealed the enduring power of the sea,
right,
its ability to shape destinies, ignite conflicts, and drive innovation,
right,
from ancient rowers to mighty battleships.
Yeah.
The quest for control of the seas has been a constant throughout human history.
Absolutely.
It makes you wonder what new challenges and opportunities await on the horizon.
Right.
What role will technology play in shaping the future of naval warfare? And how will the balance of power shift in the 21st century?
Well, those are questions that historians and policymakers are grappling with right now as we speak. But one thing is clear.
Yeah.
The story of the sea and those who dare to master it is far from over.
It's been a fascinating voyage.
Yeah, it has.
Exploring the evolution of naval warfare and the rise of British sea power.
Absolutely.
From ancient Egyptian steerboards to the clash of ironclad behemoths, we've seen how mastery of the seas has shaped the course of history.
It really has.
And continues to influence the geopolitical landscape.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into naval history.
It's been a pleasure.